Tonight is a different night. I know some of you are probably looking forward to some more Israel pictures. I have thoroughly enjoyed doing that. Tonight we're going to just focus on the task at hand. We'll probably pick them up again next week. But tonight we're going to devote this time of going here. I want to invite you to go to the book of Galatians, if you would. Galatians chapter 1. And tonight I'd like to do something. I'd like to go through a topical sort of a thing. And gleaned this information from Dr. Jim Van Gelderen as he was, he's been here and he's preached along some of these lines. And so I want to pass along some of these truths that are here that are very foundational to understand in the Christian life. And so we need to understand this issue. Now, when we refer to the gospel, most of us, when we think of the gospel, we're thinking purely of salvation. You know, with the gospel, right? The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And honestly, biblically, that is the gospel. And so there's a gospel to the lost and dying world that needs to hear the gospel so that they can trust Jesus for their in payment for their sins so that they can be saved. And definitely refer to the gospel in that way. But let me ask you a question. Is the gospel for more than just the lost? Is the gospel for the believer? I would suggest to you, and more than suggest, I would tell you that I believe the book of Galatians is kind of like the gospel to the believer. You see, the gospel to the believer, there was a group of people under Paul's leadership, or if I could even say fathership, had heard the gospel, had heard the truth in a prior time and in a prior setting, and had come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. These people had come to trust in Jesus Christ, their personal Lord and Savior, and they were living, they were going to church, and yet over time, they had let the influences and the philosophies of the world to infiltrate their lives, and they began to live their Christian lives in a way that was very similar to when they were before they were saved. And they got and they got confused in their Christian life with their responsibility and their role with things. And so Paul is addressing that in the book of Galatians. What a tremendous book for the Christian to go through, the believer to go through, and it will help us to differentiate between some pitfalls that come into the Christian life. And there's no doubt in my mind that many of these pitfalls fall into our lives as Christians, even right here in our church. And so tonight we're going to talk about three important topics that are given in the book of Galatians. And so we are going to look at legalism. You've heard of legalism, and I could ask you, what do you think legalism is? We're going to look at what legalism is. We're going to go to the opposite end of the spectrum and look at license. Both of those two have something very similar in them. And then we're going to look at the middle of the road where we ought to be, and we're going to look, not that it's a compromise between the two, in the middle we're going to look at liberty. Christian liberty is the subject of 1 Corinthians chapter 8 in which we're heading. And I want to give you a little background before we get into there, because Paul's going to bring up things like eating food that was offered to idols. What should I do with that? What's my responsibility? Is this helping me? Is God going to be pleased if I don't do this? And what should I do? And so I'm just praying through it this week. Where God has me tonight, right here where I stand, is to give you some preliminaries before next week we get into the topic at hand of Christian liberty in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. So I'm going to give you a background of what liberty is, and then two sides of it of what it's not, okay? Christian liberty. Lord, I need your help this evening as I go through this. It's interesting going through just thoughts that other people have put together. And Lord, I need your help to be able to relay these. I think they're so foundational and important that we understand them before we move forward. Lord, I pray that you would give me an amazing ability that I don't have of my own self. God, I pray that you would loose my tongue to be able to share your truth And Lord, that I would be able to make clear and make, if I could say elementary, if I could make deep truths of your word very simple, easy for us all to understand, right out there for us to be able to grasp, and so that we can comprehend, and then, Lord, live it out the way you want us to live. And God, I pray that it would do a work in people's hearts tonight, and that it would encourage them to live the free and liberty life that you intended us to live. Lord, we need to understand what that free life means and is. So God, would you help us as we look at the book of Galatians to understand these important truths. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm asking God to help me give this to you, because these are hard subjects here, and I want to go through that so that you can understand that. I would encourage you, as I share, would you pray for me that I can give you what God wants me to give? This is not my message, this is God's message, okay? So let's look at this. The gospel of salvation, the gospel for the Christian, I think both are implied here in the book of Galatians. I want you to look at Galatians chapter 1, and let's start off with verses 6 and 7. And you'll see here two gospels that are given. Now, don't get confused when I say two gospels. There's a right and a wrong, okay? But let's look at Galatians chapter 1, starting in verse 6. He says, and he cuts right to the point, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. There were those people around in the area that were perverting, twisting the gospel so that it meant something that it really never meant to mean. There were people that were twisting, and you see all around there were people that were working and doing religion so that they could earn their way to heaven. There were people living, doing, working, pleasing, trying to do enough so that they could be accepted by God. Now, these believers understood in the beginning that that's not how salvation came to be. They understood the verses that we shared this morning. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration, renewing of the Holy Ghost. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. These people had come to the realization in their unbelief that they needed to fully and completely trust in Jesus Christ for their salvation. And they indeed did that. And they accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, free from work. But now as they lived the Christian life, they felt like they needed to do things in order to please God. They needed to do things in order to maybe even keep their salvation. And they began to transition from a very free acknowledgement of what God had done for them in a very works-based sanctification style life in order to live for the Lord and pleasing Him. And Paul writes here, and he says in verse 6, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ into another gospel. He said, it amazes me. Didn't we go through this and didn't you understand it the first time? These people were very confused, and I would suggest that there are many Christians, maybe even right here tonight, that are confused with what the Christian life is supposed to look like. Now notice, he says a different gospel. The word different is a perverted gospel. It's an opposite gospel. But there's two references. Notice that he said at the end of verse 6, he said, unto the grace of Christ, unto another gospel. And then right away, which is not another. Now this sounds very similar, and in fact it's very confusing as we look at it, but there are two different Greek words that are used here. One word is heteros, which means of another kind. I think you understand the word heteros. We refer to our sexuality in homo or heteros, and you see that heteros is male and female. Okay, you understand that there's a difference between the two. So there's a different gospel. And then he goes on to say, which is not another. There's another word here that is used, and that's the word allos. And that means, it means it's not a different one, but it's a very similar, it's of the same kind. So there's two things here that Paul is warning them about. One of them is so different that we ought to recognize it, that the people were falling into, and yet there was one that was very similar, that was very confusing and very difficult to understand. And so we're going to look at these situations of the gospel here. Take our Bibles. We're going to work our way through Galatians in a very simple way. We're not going to go through the entire thing, but we're going to make our way through Galatians with some key points just to understand. Again, this is not even meant to really be a message. I want to walk you through the topics here tonight to prepare us for next week, okay? So take it that way, and let's just learn tonight. I would encourage you to take some notes, and I'll even put it out there this way. If there's something that I say that's unclear, I would even say, feel free to raise your hand. I don't know if I'll be able to clear it up, because it is difficult, but I'm free to. I want you to understand what this is talking about here, okay? So what is this gospel, these gospels that Paul is referring to? All right, let's go to Galatians chapter 2 now. And I want you to see in verse 21, we're going to see this the confusion that is there. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 21, this is the last verse of the chapter. Notice what he says here in verse 21. He just gets done with that verse that we went through a couple weeks ago. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ. Glorious verse that tells us that our life needs to be grounded in Him. And then he goes in verse 21 and he says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. He said, I'm not trying to make this confusing. He said, I'm not frustrating. I'm not trying to do anything that gets in the way of God's grace. He says, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. You see what he's saying here? What had salvation been based on? Salvation was always based on grace, wasn't it? God's grace to mankind. Is that how we're saved? Yes. For by grace are ye saved through faith. That's how it came. Did righteousness come through the law? Now, what is he talking about when he says the law? Did righteousness come through a set of rules and regulations to do in order to be saved? What's the answer? No. If righteousness came to us through the law, what is Paul's conclusion? Then we're all dead in vain. How many of us have lived the law perfectly? How many of us have lived a perfect life before God and what He requires? Not a one of us. If righteousness comes by the law, then we're altogether dead. We're toast, right? If righteousness is by the law. Now that was for salvation. He says that here in verse 21. He says, I'm not trying to frustrate things. I want you to understand, salvation is by grace. A false gospel is by obedience and recognition of the law. There were certain people that were living by the law, and they were looking at the law to earn their salvation. If they would do the law good enough, then they would be accepted. They would be saved. In our terminology, they would be His, okay? So we recognize a true gospel, which is by grace. A false gospel, which is represented by obedience to the law, or we would call it works, okay? Works-based salvation, Christ's work, dependence, faith, grace, salvation, okay? So he says here that we've got to understand that. Now, we understand that for the Christian, or for the life in order to be saved, right? Do you understand that the Scriptures teach that it's by grace that we're saved? Do you understand that it is not by works, right? It's not by works. What happens when we try to earn our salvation through works? Ephesians chapter 2 tells us that we would have reason to boast and brag then. But the fact of the matter is we're not accepted. We're not good enough. And so he says that there's another gospel here, which we need to be in tune with. All right, we're going fast here. We're making good progress. Go to chapter 3 now. go to chapter 3, and we're going to see, and quickly, the dilemma is coming up. Paul has already mentioned it in chapter 1. He said, foolish Galatians, what are you doing? Have you forgotten what I've told you? So then he goes to chapter 2, and he says, don't forget, you were saved by grace. You weren't saved by the works of the law. Now we get to chapter 3. Chapter 3, and I want you to look at verse 2. Well, he says in verse 1, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? Now look at verse 2. This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Now, are you catching this in verse 2? He's asking them a question. All right. He says, number one, he says, received ye, or did you receive the Spirit? In other words, when you got saved, did you receive the Spirit baptizing you in the person of Jesus Christ? Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law? Or, if I could insert in there, or did you receive the Spirit by the hearing of faith? Now, you answer for me. How had they received the gospel? How had they received the Spirit? Was it A, by the works of the law, or was it B, by the hearing of faith? What was the answer? B, by the hearing of faith. Okay, we all understand that. That's how they had trusted Jesus Christ. Now look at verse 3. Okay. Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect or mature in, or if I could say, through the flesh? Are you catching the question and what he's saying there? He's calling to mind in verse 2, he's saying, now listen, how did you get saved? How did your life start? It was through grace. It was by faith, right? It was a confession of faith. It's not of me, it's him. And so then he gave the Spirit of God, and they were saved. He said, are ye so foolish to think that God would start your spiritual life through works, or through grace and through faith, and now you kind of need to transition and pick up your work in order to maintain it? And what's his response in that? He says in verse 1, O foolish Galatians. He said, you're tricking yourself into something that is not true. You're going to something on the opposite end of the spectrum. You're making confusing something that was so clear. Was salvation by the law or faith? And is it not made now perfect through the flesh? We're talking about the life of sanctification. Understand here that Paul is now dealing with, he's not really talking about his main subject of how to be saved. That was already done and locked and sealed. But he's saying, why would God start something by one means and want you to finish it through another? In other words, did what Jesus Christ do on the cross, was it good enough or not? Do you have to maintain this? I was dealing with an Amish friend of mine years ago. Good guy that lives in the area. I really enjoyed talking with him. Really enjoyed spending time with him. Trevor Grimes had got to spend even more time than I had with him just through some work situations. But he had gotten to spend some time, gotten to some good theological discussions concerning salvation and some different things along with that. The lives that God has given to us. It was amazing that when we went through the gospel, this man David, I don't know that I could have heard a more crystal clear presentation of what the gospel by grace through faith was. And honestly, it was an amazing conversation, because I thought, wow, this Amish guy right here, he understands the truth of the gospel. And he understands what it means to begin a relationship with God. In fact, it blew me away, because I would say it was even more, I'd never heard an Amishman really give me something so clear concerning the gospel. And we were having a good conversation there, and I was getting very encouraged with the spiritual possibility that was there. But then something came up, and he was talking about how he had trusted in Christ, and it was, very clear that it was by God's grace. And those are the things that you want to hear, and it was by faith and trust, and he wasn't mixing in any works of any kind to it. But then through the conversation, I can't even tell you exactly how it came about, but then he said, the only thing that I really need to do, though, is keep God's commandments so that I can keep it. And I thought, oh no, David, now hold on here. And we discussed it for a little while and talked about it. And I went to an illustration. I said, now David, let me ask you a question. If I just decided, because I really like you, you're a friend of mine, if I decided today that I was going to give you a rifle that you would really, really like, and I was going to pay several thousand dollars for this rifle, $3,000 just to say, let's say that I paid $3,000 and I was going to give you this rifle. And I said, David, because you're my friend, because I love you and I care for you, I'm going to give you this rifle. You don't need to do anything to get it. Not a thing to get it. This is going to be yours. I'm going to give it to you. And that's going to be great. David, would you think that would be a great thing? And of course, along with the illustration, yeah, absolutely. That would be amazing. That would be good. And really, this is yours. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to do anything for it. I am giving you this $3,000 rifle. It's yours to have. Would that be a special gift? Absolutely. This would be a special gift. All right, David, what would you think if I gave you that gift free and clear? It's yours. This is your rifle. But then at the very end, before I leave today, I just said, oh, by the way, David, you've got this $3,000 rifle that I gave you. What would you think if I just told you that, this is yours, but I simply want you to give me $20 every week for it for the next 5 years? David looked at me for a little bit, and he said, well, then it's not free. So, David, don't you understand what Jesus started through grace needs to be completed through grace, or it's not grace? Now, I'm not preaching to David here. I'm preaching to you. Does that make sense? Do you get that? Okay, I'm looking for your feedback. It's not free if you have to do something to keep it. Okay? It's not free. The Galatians, kind of like David, had accepted this as free, but they were beginning to live a life thinking that they owed the Lord something. And he says, oh, foolish Galatians. All right, we've seen that now, and we've looked. Okay, this can't be. We cannot live the Christian life still under the same mentality. Now, I want to begin, number one, and obviously I've got to hurry, but I want to go through and I want to go to the first word, and that's legalism. What is legalism in this situation? All right? Legalism is something that is based upon what we do. Legalism. Legalism is when you look to yourself to do what only God can do. Let me say it again. Legalism is looking to yourself to do something that God is the only one that is able to do. Many people refer to legalism in the area of salvation. They say, real legalism is when a person is doing work in order to be accepted, right? They had to do this, and they had to do that, and they have to wear this, and they have to wear that. And in the end, God is going to look at what I did and base my salvation upon what I have done. That individual is living a legalistic life because he's taking on of himself what God is only meant to do. Do you realize that God never intended man to win himself to himself? God never intended man to earn his way to heaven. God always, and you saw it this morning in Genesis chapter 3, the very first sin, God provided the sacrifice. Man couldn't do it. God knew that from the beginning. God always intended for him to be the means for salvation. When man puts himself and his work in there and his attempt to try to do it, that is what we call legalism. That's very simple. Many people misuse the term legalism today. They're a legalist. Well, what does that mean? I'm telling you right now, very simply put, legalism is man's attempt to please God through work in order for him to go to heaven, all right? That's the very simple sense when it refers to salvation, okay? I think that makes sense. Man working his way. Technically, we wouldn't walk around calling people legalists, but any religion that's based upon man's work, which, by the way, that's most of them, those people are being legalists. Does that make sense? Legalism, very simple. Simple definition, okay? So legalism, again, is when we look to ourselves to do what only God can do. Salvation. Now, when a person is working on their own, we call this working through the flesh. Galatians is a book of flesh versus spirit. All right, if you do some studies, flesh versus spirit. What does the Bible say about flesh? Well, we see in the Scriptures. John chapter 6 and verse 63 is one of those verses that tell us. John chapter 6 and verse 63, you might want to write it down. The flesh profits nothing. It is the spirit that quickeneth or makes alive. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The spirit is involved for regeneration. It is the flesh that's involved in nothing. There is no profit in flesh. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 3 speaks more to that. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus. And what does Paul say? And have no confidence in what? The flesh. There is no confidence because that is something God never meant the flesh to step in and do what he wanted to do or could do. God never intended us to get salvation that way. Legalism is flesh dependence. Okay? Understand that phrase there. Legalism, just a very quick way to remember the term legalism. Legalism is flesh dependence. It's when I'm depending upon myself to please God. I'm depending upon myself to earn my way to heaven. I'm depending on myself to make God happy. And so I'm reverting to my flesh. This is what I've got. Right? This is what I've got. So I'm going to do it. I'm going to live. I'm going to please. I'm going to act. I'm going to dress. I'm going to do this. It's flesh dependence. Do you have that? Legalism is flesh dependence. I'm depending upon what I can do to please God. All right? That's legalism. Flesh dependence. Flesh dependence. All right. We're going to jump over chapter 4, and I want you to go to chapter 5. Go to chapter 5, first verse in chapter 5. So we have legalism, flesh dependence, it profits nothing, and it interferes with the true gospel. Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 1, presents to us these three points. Notice what Paul says. He says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty." He says, here's where I want you to stand. I want you to stand in liberty, wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Now, there are three options that Paul presents in this book of how to live the Christian life. One of them is true, One of them is liberty, and the others are yoke of bondage. They distract us. They get us off track. Three options. One is legalism, and that's flesh dependence. One of them is liberty, and that's dependence and power to do what He wants you to do. That's depending upon Him, and we'll talk about that in the end. Depending on Christ to do what we need to do. And the third, then, is license. License. That's the opposite of legalism. It's license. Liberty is not a have-to response to the Christian life, but a want-to. Now, I just switched from legalism to liberty. Liberty is in the middle. Liberty. Let me make that clear again. Liberty is not a have-to response to the Christian life. You ever heard Christians talk about what they have to do? I've got to do this and I've got to do that. Now, based on what we just said, what is that resorting back to? Anybody got a word for it? Legalism. This is what I have to do. I've got to do this and I have to do it. Liberty is I want to. Liberty is I want to because I love Him. Liberty is I have the opportunity to please Him. I want to do this because I'm in love with Him. I want to please Him because of what He's done for me. Listen, if God says this about holiness, then I want to live a holy life. If God says this about modesty, then I want to live that life because I want to please the Lord. It's not liberty has nothing to do with what I have to do. Liberty has everything to do with what I have the privilege to do because I want to show Him. Now, he says, stand fast in this liberty. But there's some pitfalls to look on the side of this. Go to verse 13 in the same chapter, Galatians chapter 5. And I want you to look at verse 13. Notice what he says in verse 13. He says, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Right? I've called you to liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. You see, there was a misuse of this liberty. He said, I've called you to liberty, but he said, be careful. Don't use this liberty for an occasion to the flesh. Don't go so far away. Okay, legalism is you do it all. But don't get so excited about your liberty that you abuse it and turn it into something that is not. And what does he say that it is? It's an occasion for the flesh. Now, what was the dependence on legalism? The flesh. Guess what license is all about? The occasion for the flesh is all about flesh. Legalism depends on the flesh. License misrepresents or misuses. It's a flesh indulgence. All right? So we have our first word, which is legalism. Legalism is referred to flesh dependence, right? Flesh dependence. I'm depending on my flesh to please God. License, on the other hand, is flesh indulgence. It's indulging because I'm misrepresenting and misusing this liberty. It's a misuse. You remember the two that in the beginning he talks about another gospel? One is opposite and one's a counterfeit. One is so close, it's confusing. My friend, I want to tell you there are a lot of Christians in our circles today. Yes, people understand the legalistic effort of it, but many of those people have gone from flesh dependence to flesh indulgence. Flesh indulgence. And here's why. Let me put it to you on a very ground level basis. License is counterfeit liberty. Have you ever heard somebody say, you know what? God didn't save us to be under the bondage things. He saved us to liberate us, right? And I want to say, He saved us to liberate us, but let's not misuse the word liberty. And that would be a misuse of it. He did not do it so that we indulge in the flesh. Legalism is the opposite gospel. It's easy to identify. We see people that are working, and we live in an area that is so easy to see people working for their salvation. We see that. That's kind of clear. But license is counterfeit gospel. It's flesh indulgence. It is not so easy to identify. Flesh indulgence, listen to this, is a cover to do what you want to do. Why? Because I've been liberated. I've been freed to do what I want. It's a misuse and misinterpretation of what God has given. Let me give you an example that Dr. Jim used. He used the illustration of a flag that had been hanging very high. For our cases, I'm going to use something that's very high, and I'm going to take these speakers that are hanging up here. All right? Everybody see those. I want you to imagine me calling one of my younger boys to come up here, who averages a height of about this tall, all right? Not very tall. And let's just suppose that I tell one of my boys, let's say, all right, Malachi, I want you to stand down here, and I want you to try as you might. I want you to try to touch that projector or those speakers. Now, let's be serious. I'm telling you, there's no hidden secrets with Malachi. He doesn't have any hidden abilities that none of us know. I can tell you, there's not a chance in his life that he's going to be able to jump up and touch those speakers. Try as he might. He might try for an hour. He might try for a day. He might try for a week. He might try for a year. But I'm telling you, there's no way, probably in his entire lifetime, that he's going to be able to jump up and touch those speakers. Why? Because that height is humanly impossible. Humanly impossible. Now, I say that, and I don't know. There's probably some guy out there that can touch it. All right, go 10 foot higher than that. You understand the illustration. There's no way that he can do it. Now, legalism is what? I'm going to do everything I can to do what I can to touch that. You know what legalism tends towards? You know what the end of legalism is? Defeat and discouragement. You know, one day, Malachi is going to get so tired of jumping up there and failing. One day, he's going to hang his head and he's going to walk out these doors and he says, I can't do it. Do you know that people trying to live the Christian life, trying to live the unsaved life, trying to get to heaven, are defeated and they can't do it. But equally, a Christian trying to live according to the law, trying to do the works, trying to please God the way that he thinks that God wants him to, is really and ultimately a life of discouragement. Why? Because he was never meant to do that. But in this illustration, we've got a young boy just trying and trying and trying and trying, and eventually he's going to either give up or he's going to do something else. Now, can you imagine? We're here, and Melissa and I are here, and we're struggling with our son. He's not getting it. He's not touching it. He's not able to reach it. And so we get this brilliant idea. We want to be a support to our son. We want to be an encourager to him, and we don't want him to be defeated. I don't want him to be defeated. The last thing that I want is for him to give up. So, Melissa, what do you... I happen to know that back there in the utility room, there's a ladder. And we're going to go get that ladder, and we're going to tweak the rules just a little bit, and we're going to go get the speakers, and we're going to bring it down to this level. And then he'll be able to jump, and he'll be able to touch it, and he'll be victorious. Doesn't that sound like a great idea? That is called license. License. It's realizing that, you know what? I'm getting really tired of having to do all these things. I'm tired of doing all this. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to change the rules. I'm going to change them so that my flesh can accomplish them. Do you know how many Christians are living the Christian life very discouraged and defeated because day in and day out they fall short? I've been trying to have my devotions for the last 20 years, and I'm still struggling with this. And that person is either going to stop having their devotions, or they're going to change the rule. Did God ever really tell me to have devotions? You know what? Maybe that's not that important. Maybe, in fact, I've searched the scriptures, and I don't even really find the word devotions in there. You know what? It's really not in there. I don't have to do it, and I've been liberated. And they've taken it occasion to the flesh. They've just made themselves feel better, and we call that It's not necessarily a biblical word. We call that license. License to accomplish things that we trick ourselves into think that are pleasing the Lord, but using it as an occasion for the flesh. Now listen to this. Do you realize they seem like two polar opposites? Legalism. I can't do it. And there is a dependence upon what? Flesh. Two. Let's lower the standard. Let's do it. Ah, I did it. To indulgence of the flesh. And guess what? It's not really that far of a transition. One person went from flesh dependence to flesh indulgence. Have you ever seen a family that has been so gung-ho about the things of the Lord? They had done everything this way, this way, and this way, and they lived by the law, and they did all this, and then all of a sudden, next thing you know, they're out doing everything like the world, and you say, what happened? That doesn't even make sense. That family was so far away from that. What happened? And now they're living like the world. They don't seem to have any standard, no rule, nothing. I'll tell you what happened. It wasn't that far of a transition. They just placed the difference from dependence to indulgence. But flesh was always at the center of their life. Their issues, their selves, was always at the center. Legalism is trying your hardest to do it and do it and do it, and probably failing and failing, not probably, failing and failing and failing, because we can't do it. We were never intended to do that of our own strength. License is taking the liberties and abusing the liberties and saying, my flesh isn't strong enough. My flesh isn't tall enough. My flesh isn't spiritual enough. I can't do this. I can't dress like that, so boy, I just can't do that. I could never go out with my friends like this. I can't do that. I can't take time to read the Bible. I can't show up to church that much. I've tried. I can't stop lying. I can't stop indulging in this thing. I just can't do it. And so they either run away and they go away from the Lord and they abandon God, or they come up with a remedy. This is, you know, I can't do it, but I'm gonna take this thing and I'm gonna make it where this flesh can touch it, and now I'm gonna go all and I'm gonna live that way. Boy, this is easy. I can live according to these standards now. You know what? I am so free now. Because I don't have to do those things anymore. I get to do what I want. This person is living in license. And this person is living the Christian life in the flesh. Question. Which one pleases God more? Flesh or flesh? What's the answer? Flesh cannot please God. It is impossible to please God through the flesh. Somewhere along the line, we have moved from God dependence to flesh dependence, which in turn brings defeat. And by the way, legalism always leads to license, unless we meet Jesus. Legalism will always lead to license, always. Because there are no alternatives. I can't get to heaven by my work, and I cannot live the Christian life by my work. Does everybody understand that? You can't do it. But my friend, I want to tell you, the answer to this is not to lower the standard and do what you can do. That's not what God calls us to do. He doesn't call us to lower the standard and change it so that you can, boy, this is freeing now to do what I want to do. We're talking about living in the flesh for either of these things. And what does the flesh bring? Look at Galatians chapter 6 and verse 8. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap what? Corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall reap life everlasting. Lastly, we want to look and explain what liberty is then. Go back to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 24. So we have flesh dependence, and that's legalism. People that are depending on the flesh to live the Christian life, trying and trying. And by the way, before we look at this as we close, let me just ask you. Okay, everybody look back up here. Let's make this very practical. Now, you don't have to nod. You don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to stand up. You don't have to come forward. I just want to ask you this question for yourself to think. How many of you have lived your life trying and trying. And it's gotten really old and really tiring. And my friend, I'm not trying to be harsh or to be mean. I'm going to simply say you're living a legalistic life. But can I give you some good news? God never intended for you to live that way. He never intended you to be burdened down with what you have to do. But be careful not to get so burned out that you say, away with the rule. Away with the standard. I'm going to change it, make it another confusing gospel, and I'm going to make it my own. Now I can live my life because, hey, there's nothing big about that. God never said anything. My next question is how many of you have failed at the Christian life in flesh dependence and have sort of turned your life into something that is very flesh indulgent now, pleasing what I want to and saying, you know what, God never said anything about this. Well, I'm going to go do this. God never said I couldn't do that. And so what's wrong with doing that? By the way, anybody that comes to you and is arguing with you about their own rights has gone to the side of license. There's no doubt. They're trying to defend what they ought to have a right to be able to do. And God never said not to do this. This person has been defeated in the legalistic side. They've been defeated. They've been trying and trying. They cannot do it because nobody can. Nobody can do the Christian life in the flesh. Not a single person in the face of the earth can live the Christian life in the flesh. Nobody can. And they have failed. And because of their failure, they have decided to either walk away, and that's super clear. They walked away. Or they have lowered the standard to just make it to where they can make it through. And now, and by the way, this is the generation that we have on the face of the earth here. And even in Christian circles, the theology of trying to explain away all the rules and defend what they have freedom to do. My friend, Paul expressed it right there as taken occasion of the flesh, and they have corrupted and perverted liberty. I want to close with what liberty is. And this is the answer for all of us, whether we have been on the legalistic side or whether we've been on the license side. The liberty side is in verse 24. Look at Galatians 5:24 and we'll be done. And they that are Christ's have what to the flesh? The legalist depends upon the flesh, right? The person of license does what with the flesh? He indulges in it, right? He does whatever he feels like, whatever he wants to, because he could never do that, so now he's just going to live this way. But the person of liberty does something else with the flesh, and what does it say they do with the flesh? They crucify the flesh. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. This person that are Christ is not just talking about Christians. This is probably talking about the victorious Christian living their lives for the Lord in Christ, abiding in Him, says that they crucify the flesh. They're being spirit-controlled in their Christian lives. And the word crucified here is in such the sense or the tense that it is a crucifixion that is ongoing every day. It's kind of like, and I put this in my notes, it's kind of funny because it's only for myself, sometimes after a phrase that it wasn't completely completed, I put three dots, dot, dot, dot. It means there's no end. Have you ever seen things connected with a bunch of dots, and what do the dots represent? A lot of action that's continuous. Here, this word crucifying the flesh is something that we do daily. Every day, when I'm seeing a certain thing that I've got to do, I'm not trying my hardest. I'm not lowering the standard. What I'm doing is crucifying my flesh and I'm turning to the Spirit. I'm turning to someone who can. And we look over the crowd and we see the tall individual back there in the back. And we beckon them and they come up and they pick Malachi up. And they put him up there. And he touches it. And that is living the Christian life, my friend. We didn't lower the standard. And we don't have to fail. But we're depending upon the Spirit to do what he's called us to do. Do you know that Jesus went to the cross not only to secure your salvation, he went to the cross to pick you up with everything that he asks you to do in life. Every single thing that he asks you to do that seems so hard. And my friend, I want to tell you, it is hard in the flesh. You can't touch it. You cannot do it. But he can. He can. Did you hear that? He can. You say, I can't get over this problem. I can't get over this thing in my life. I can't seem to get victory over it. You're right, you can't. But don't go to the other end and lower the standard. Find one that can get you there. And his name is Jesus Christ. His name is Jesus Christ. He can pick you up. He can lift you there. And I want to tell you something. You can have freedom in your Christian life when you start to depend upon Jesus Christ. And that's what we call Christian liberty. And the world and Christendom have turned this phrase Christian liberty in inside out. I give you all of that so that we can start 1 Corinthians chapter 8 now. There's the background. My friend, before we leave here tonight, I hope that you'll recognize in your life, you might have been an individual here that you say, Pastor, truth be told, I am getting really tired of jumping up and trying to hit that thing. I just seem to be defeated all the time. I can't do it. You're right, you can't. Guess what? You're in good company because none of us can. None of us can. And I don't know your shortcoming. I don't know what it is. Time with the Lord. Prayer. Some of you, prayer is just one of the hardest things in life to do. Maybe it's prayer. Maybe it's time with the Lord. Maybe it's your tongue. Maybe you just have a habit of saying things you ought not to, and you're not using the words of wisdom like the book of Proverbs tells us. Maybe you have struggle with your attitude. Maybe a bad perspective. Maybe a bad attitude about things in life. Maybe you... I don't know what your struggle is, but there are many of us that... All of us that cannot do it, you can't do it. But don't go to the other end of the spectrum and use your flesh to do what you want. Let God help you do it. He went to the cross for you. You say, Pastor, come on, put it down on the carpet here for me, because how do I really do this? Jesus is not there physically for me to say, Jesus, all right, pick me up and take me out of here. How do you do this? I'll tell you, it's really simple. It's getting into that situation and looking up there and turning to the Lord in prayer and say, God, I cannot do it. God, I know that that's the goal up there. I know that you want me to stop this. I know you want me to stop looking at those filthy pictures. God, I know you want me to do it, but I cannot. I've not been able to seem to do it on my own. God, I can't do it, but I know that you can. I know that you went to the cross to save me from it. God, I am trusting and depending upon you. I'm depending upon the Spirit to do what I cannot do. God, I'm asking you to do it. Would you do that? And he will not let you down. Now you'll have to go into his arms. You'll have to let him. If he comes to pick you up and you walk away, well, he's not going to force himself upon you. My friend, if you let him do it, he'll do it. And when you go into that grocery store and you know your temptations, look at those magazines and you've never been able to have victory over it for longer than any couple days, and you know that you're going to fail again, you ask Jesus to do it, he's going to give you the strength to walk by. Whether you will or not, I don't know, but he'll give you the strength to do it. There hath no temptation taken you but such is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not tempt you, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, and will with it make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. I'm telling you, friend, he will make a way of escape. You don't have to fall. He has provided the way to victory. The question is, will we take it? Will we take it? Be careful not to depend upon your flesh. You can't do it. Be careful not to go to the other end of the spectrum and lower the standard and live like you want. That doesn't please the Lord. It's an occasion for the flesh that Paul says, don't do that. What he does encourage you to do is depend upon the Spirit, depend upon the Lord, and he will not disappoint you. That's liberty, liberty in Christ. Father, would you help us to understand these truths? God, I thank you that these truths were made very clear to me as Dr. Jim shared them with me, and the learning was so clear and so plentiful. God, thank you for the understanding you've given to us through the book of Galatians. God, I pray that these people would understand that. God, I pray that we would stop living the defeated Christian life the way we've been living. God, help us not to go to the other end of the extreme and give license for whatever we want. God, help us in turn to do the way you want us to and turn to you. Lord, we can't do it. We need you. We need you. We need you. We need you, Lord. So God, help us. Thank you for your good word. Thank you for helping me to share these truths with these people tonight. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.